Welcome to this podcast on the counseling process called Reflecting, the third in a series of four on basic counseling skills. We'll go over some background on reflecting, then we'll describe it and give examples from a WIC clinic. Then we'll talk about tweaking reflections to make them even more effective, and finally, how to practice so that we can get really good at it. Reflecting accomplishes many things. Some of them have the effect of helping us in a WIC clinic. Shane Paul said that clarity of observation is possible only when we're able to suspend judgment. When we simply reflect what a client has said, we're suspending judgment and thereby observing more clearly. So getting in the habit of reflecting helps us stay non-judgmental and client-centered. Let's jump into what reflecting is. Reflective listening, or mirroring, is one of the central skills in any counseling process. It's also called active listening because it's not just listening quietly. You listen carefully for what sounds important and reflect it back in your own words. Sometimes you almost repeat what the person said, and sometimes you're making a guess about what you believe the person means and reflect that back as a statement. So simple and yet so powerful. We will have more examples later, just one here, to show you how we can make straightforward reflections or we can guess what the person means and reflect that. A WIC participant says, "My son just won't eat vegetables. I know he should, and I make them, but he just ignores them or pushes them off the plate." A straightforward reflection would be, "Your son isn't eating the vegetables you make." Or you could make a guess and say, "You're frustrated," or, "You really want your son to be healthy." This process of guessing another person's meaning happens all the time in human interactions. Communication is never perfect. We're always doing a bit of guessing. By reflecting what we guess, you're making it more explicit, and this can be valuable and in the service of your client. It does not need to take much time, just a few seconds to repeat some of their words or to rephrase a key insight that you heard. Brain research shows that we all naturally mirror in our brains when in the presence of other people who are doing or experiencing something familiar to us. In order for this natural brain process to be useful to our client, it needs to happen out loud. Humans naturally mirror on lots of levels, and you can train yourself to add the ones you don't do already. You can reflect in your body language, your tone of voice. You can just reflect one word, or a phrase, or an emotion, or a whole concept, or a process that you've noticed. Take a look at some of the examples in the slides handout. Some are very straightforward, such as almost repeating the client's words, "You really don't like spinach," or "Cooking is not fun for you." Some are more complex. For example, a client may be saying that they have trouble figuring out what foods are good and what foods are bad, and you could simply reflect back, "You're confused about how to choose foods." Or a participant may say, "I've got to have my ice cream when I get home from a really bad day at work." You could reflect back, "Ice cream helps you calm down after you work." And notice in that situation, you're taking a bit of a guess. Sometimes our clients seem to go on and on a bit, often in a complaining sort of way, and sometimes we can boil down a lot of what we've heard and sum it up to indicate we've really heard them. For example, "You do have a very busy work week." Sometimes you can help a client see and appreciate their values when you notice a value that they seem to be talking about and you more simply put it into a word or two. For example, if you notice the person does seem to want to exercise to be stronger, you can simply say, "You do want to be stronger." If you hear concern from parents about their children, you can simply reflect back, you do want to be a good parent, or you care a lot about your kids. You can also reflect back what you see about their change process. If they're struggling to figure out how to do something that they know would be a good idea, you can reframe it by saying, "You haven't yet found a way to do that." There are all different types of reflections. There's no need for you to be able to name what type of reflection you're making. I'll just go through these, though, to show you the range, to offer you ways to become more flexible. For example, if a WIC client says, "I did like breastfeeding my first baby all those years ago. I know it is good for them. Now that I'm working, I don't have enough time. I'm not sure my new husband will be supportive either." A simple reflection you could make during the discussion: "You enjoy breastfeeding," or "You're aware that breast milk is the healthiest food for babies." Those would be straightforward, simple reflections. You could give a double-sided reflection. On the one hand, you like breastfeeding and you know it's good for your baby. And on the other, you know you would need to figure out how to get your husband to support it and may have trouble finding time for it. You could also make a reflection that has a reframe in it. You could say, "Breastfeeding is something you're good at." Notice that's not precisely what she said. You're framing it in that way. You could also reflect with a twist. "You like breastfeeding and haven't yet found a way to do it this time." You could also summarize at the end of the discussion. For example, "So far, you know that breastfeeding would be a good idea, and you know you can do it. At this point, you're considering how to work it into your life and how to bring the baby's dad along." When is it a good idea to reflect? Well, certainly, especially after you ask an open-ended question, it keeps the exploration process going that you started with your question. This is the cool part, when the client starts doing all the work. When the person is thinking about change, people talk more about changing before they do it, and the more they talk about it in specific ways, the more apt they are to change. So when you hear this change talk, reflect it. We'll be talking more about change talk in another podcast of this program. Part of our job is to help clients see that they are ambivalent. And we do that by reflecting it when we notice it. That's a double-sided reflection. Then you can offer to explore it further with them. When you hear strong feelings from a participant, you may reflect those back, particularly if the feeling is directly related to food behaviors or somehow getting in the way of focusing on the nutrition topics. Certainly another time to reflect is when you hear buts and complaints, indications that the client is resisting you. When we reflect gently and respectfully what we hear, we're rolling with the resistance. For instance, by saying you don't like spinach, or cooking isn't fun for you, when a participant seems to just be complaining, they'll know that you heard them, and they're more apt to move on. We'll talk more on responding to resistance in another podcast. Briefly now, the tact to take when a client is resisting you is to first acknowledge it. You respectfully reflect the resistance. For example, "You don't like your doctor's advice," or "You haven't decided yet about this idea of using beans in some of your meals." What does it make sense for us to reflect? We've covered most of these on this list here. Let's talk a bit more about values. When we notice values or beliefs, particularly ones that would move toward positive change, you can reflect them out loud. For example, "You want your children to be healthy," or "You generally believe in following your doctor's advice." When we hear something a client has learned from their experience that will serve them in this change process, we can reinforce it. For example, "So you know that when you write things down, you're much more apt to remember them." As to summaries, we'll be talking more about them in the next podcast. As you can see, reflecting does a lot of things. If you attend to reflections in your everyday life, you will see that they accomplish a lot. For instance, we make assumptions about what is said, and we might be a little off. When we say our assumption out loud, the client will naturally correct us if it's off a little bit. When clients feel respected and heard, they will listen to what we have to say, and they will experience getting what they need. By the way, reflecting is more powerful than sharing about yourself, as you might with a friend. It's more powerful in the process of developing rapport and showing the clients that we respect and empathize with them. Can you think of times that someone reflected back to you and remember how it felt? Reflecting reminds us to focus on the client. It's so easy for us to get involved in what we need to educate the client about and the paperwork that we need to do and forget to stay client-centered. Reflecting helps us stay client-centered. Any time that we're stuck or we feel like the client is stuck, oddly enough, it's very useful to simply reflect what was just said or to do a little summary of what you've been talking about. Often that allows things to move along a bit. We've already mentioned how reflecting helps clients see ambivalence and to work through it. And finally, when you feel like a deer in the headlights, when you really don't know what to do or say, you could simply reflect what you just heard and sort of keep on reflecting until something shifts. If nothing else, it gives you a chance to catch your breath. More than likely, though, it will give you something in the client that you can respond to and move on. Now here's where we talk about making our reflections even more clear, even more powerful and useful. Powerful reflections are statements, not questions. It can be tempting to turn a reflection into a question by putting an inflection at the end of it. This weakens it and can turn it into a closed question. For example, notice the difference between, "You're concerned about your son's growth?" and "You're concerned about your son's growth." Keep reflections as short and simple as possible. For example, here's a reflection that may be accurate, though longer than necessary. So what you're saying is that you don't know a whole lot of people who have breastfed, and you picture yourself getting flustered and giving up because you don't have anyone to ask questions of. Here's a simpler reflection that allows the woman to continue quickly rather than you taking over the conversation. You're aware that you will need support in order to breastfeed. Shorter reflections like that are less apt to interrupt the flow of the client's thoughts. The most effective change conversations we can have with our clients contain many more reflections than they do questions from us or giving advice. So find as many opportunities as you can to reflect. Remember that we all naturally reflect in our brains. There's a great variability in the extent to which we do it out loud so that it's effective. Apparently, Raquel Welsh said, "You can't fake listening. It shows." You show your listening and then make use of your listening by reflecting what you hear. Well, here we are at the practice section of this unit. With this skill, first notice what you naturally do already. What types of visible and verbal reflecting is natural to you? It may be helpful to ask coworkers or your supervisor to give you this feedback. If you're allowed to audio record a session or two, you could then listen to see how many reflections you make and what kinds they are. Here are several ways to get practice reflecting. You could choose a particular type of reflection to add to your repertoire. Stretch yourself and practice that type over and over. You could find specific opportunities to practice it with family, friends, or coworkers. For example, you could ask a coworker to just start talking about something she is trying to decide, and you could practice doing nothing but reflecting. You could also remind yourself just before seeing each participant to find one new thing to reflect, and you could remind yourself to do this over and over again, say on a given day or given week. Reflecting is something to practice many times until it becomes just a part of your way of being with other people.